Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Guillermo Mash welcoming you to the inaugural, the very first Without a Roof radio program, the Monday edition. It is, in case you need to know the date, it is the 12th of March, and it's a gorgeous day here in Chico. Like what you hear and want to hear more, see more, read more? Google Without a Roof. We come right to the top. I had a beautiful thing happen, man. I went over to Starbucks. I try not to spend any money there. I go in there for the internet. I got the best internet in town. And I needed to upload the feature for today, the YouTube feature, Without a Roof vignette, 6.5 minutes on the Chico Friends on the Streets Sunday meal this past March 11th on the plaza. And I just ran into one of my favorite people in Chico. And she's a chat volunteer. And she works directly with people that are in their housing that need support. And that could run the gamut. Physical support, mental health support, rides, you name it. And it really warmed my heart because, anyway, I was doing a bunch of radio shows, give you the backstory. But I've only been doing radio for like 30 minutes a week for the past four months or so. And I really started to see that I couldn't air all the stuff I'm recording, or I wasn't out there talking to as many people as I'd like to, which is one of the reasons I asked, and they readily said, they being the office people, sure, you can do Monday. But I had this in the can. This is from Chad's Got Talent at the Chico Grange back in November, when I kind of backed down to a 130-minute show a week. So shout out to all of the people at Chico Housing Action Team. And gosh, I'm producing a show today, actually. You can hear that. I was actually at one of the chat houses. Shout out to Lisa Curry. I went over there with our mutual friend Tammy Donaldson to one of the supportive housing facilities that they have for people that are part of behavioral health, the mental health system. And we spent some time with a couple of the residents and guests over there that we're friends with. We got hugs and all of the customaries. It's an amazing program. Chico Housing Action Team, Housing Now, formerly known as Master Lease Program, is amazing. And you're going to hear from an amazing person that's in one of their homes right now, Mark, here on People Power Radio.
So, Mark, you were just telling me how you've been to Chico before. You've got roots here. What were those roots, man?
And In the 80s... I came to Chico. My family was giving me trouble, and my family kind of wanted me to go to Mexico, and I didn't want to go to Mexico. There were bad habits there, and I thought, I'm going to go to Chico. It's a woman's town. Maybe I'll be safe walking the streets at night. So I ended up at that time working for a radio station that used to be called KEWQ. Now it's KKXX, so I hear the same people there, and I liked it a lot. The manager took a shine to me, and I would sell accounts and say, you know, I'm so-and-so from KWQ. Do you know who we are? Of course, and then I did some work with a newspaper at that time. So I was on both sides, on the left, of the newspaper, and on the right side with the Christian station. And
yeah, I've been on, Vince Haney does a show on the Christian station. I've been on it. It's over there by the Islando Channel in the creek.
And the hill. Is that
it's down here in Chico now. They broadcast out of Chico over by the beauty salon.
Oh, my. My manager at that time was Paul Colton, and he was a great fellow. He was dedicated to make a Christian out of me, and I went to the Four Square, and by God, I went forward.
What years were those, Mark?
That would be the 80s, 80, 88, 85, in there.
All right, Mark, thanks for sharing that.
Well, I hope you all like it, and yeah, do it. Thank you very much.
All right, Mark, thanks for sharing some of your story. I've actually got more on Mark. I got about 10 minutes of Mark. So with this extra precious time I have on your community radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM, we're sure to get Mark out there in the next couple months. Maybe I'll even bring him back in for a follow-up interview, knowing that these are his words from November, and see how things are going for him at CHAT and all the services and help that he's getting from those team of folks. Hey, coming up next, man, we had this whole gorilla feeding action news thing, at least for the folks and people that I know and love dearly, people experiencing poverty and homelessness and those that help them. And oh, by the way, if you don't realize this, a lot of people that help homeless and poverty people are people that are poor like me. So it's a pretty tight-knit community. And needless to say, there was a lot of disappointment in the whole gorilla feeding action news piece. My hat's off to Action News. They got people out there. It got the community fired up. They did a follow-on piece, which I have not had a chance to listen to yet or watch. But it was kind of fun. So I kind of said, hey, I'll just go out there and just cover the story. Physically, what I saw before the dinner and, you know, immediately after. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to lead with a piece affectionately called Lay of the Land, which is what I saw when I got there a half hour beforehand. Then we're going to play the audio portion of something that just hit for a YouTube vignette. And it's called Chico Friends on the Street, Where's the Gorillas? And then after that, I'm going to add some commentary around some more additional beautiful things that I saw in the plaza and some shout outs to one of our new community organizations here in Chico. No spoilers. You'll have to listen to the rest of the interviews here on People Power Radio. Just a couple of notes, and I got here and there was a seriously mentally ill person acting out. He's just hauling his blanket behind him like a wedding gown, only it was mangy and dirty, as he was. I mean, it looked like he probably hadn't had a decent night's sleep or a shower in at least a couple of weeks. And he was talking to himself. Wasn't bothering anybody in particularly, but he was acting out, so to speak, especially when he saw the Chico First booth. Hard to tell whether that was a trigger or not. Anyway, he was very disturbed. I also saw someone I know from Safe Space. He started taunting me. And he said, yeah, I'm talking to you, Mr. American person that thinks you're out here doing your thing. Just kind of down and out, man. I don't know what's going on for him. And I did hear people talking about, you know, how the cops had come in and harassed them last night, wherever they had slept. But I would say by looking around, there's 25 people that are probably going to be heading over to get some food here at the corner in just a few minutes. Jan's out of the Sabbath house. She was kicked out for not doing the amount of work she's supposed to do. And she was really looking for some place to be able to stay, even if it's outside, you know, in a chained area or someplace where she's not going to get harassed by the cops or feel unsafe for other reasons. But that's pretty much the lay of the land. People are getting ready. It's probably about quarter of. I'm going to get over and try to get some cover footage of the people showing up with the food.
On Sunday, March 11, 2018, Without a Roof paid a visit to Chico Downtown Plaza about 30 minutes prior to Chico Friends on the Streets, standard and customary Sunday meal for the homeless, where they not only provide food, they provide survival items like socks, blankets, in sleeping bags. 25 people in the plaza, which increased to probably twice that, 50, when the meal was served and the items were given away. I can say I saw several people in significant throes of anguish, acting out, you know, yelling and screaming. And there was a group of folks, just one group, that was literally smoking cigarettes and smoking a little bit of pot. Other than that, it was a well-behaved and well-organized crowd on Chico Friends on the Streets.
Hello, my name is Lisa Brockes, and I want to tell you that Patrick is an advocate for the houseless and the people in need. and he feeds us adequately. And we love what he does. We're gracious and we're grateful. Thank you.
All right, I'm out here with Doug. Doug's out here waiting for the meal. And how important is this for your day and your week, being out here on the plaza on Sunday getting a meal?
Getting my body more full of food, so I can try to find me a place to live. I got the money to buy a place, rent a place, but there's no place for me to rent. So in the meantime, I'm homeless.
How long you been homeless?
About 3-4 months.
Uh-huh. Where you been looking?
Jesus Center. That's about it right now. I can say right now. That's all I can say for now. But if it wasn't for the food, I'd be going hungry.
What you can expect is what we do try to do every week. Hand out supplies like socks, toilet paper, some food. That's where our intention is today. What's going to happen after that, I have no idea.
Chico First set up an information booth approximately 50 yards from the main gathering area for Chico friends on the streets. They were hostile to an interview and would have nothing to do with engaging in a conversation around why they were here and what they were attempting to accomplish.
Well, obviously you can look around and clearly you can see that people are eating, people are getting clothes that they need. Even if they don't need them, they give them to other people that do. So, and with the food, we get the food to hand to other people as well that might miss this meal or need food later or clothes later or whatever when there's nobody around. So this is a great opportunity and a great thing because look at all the people. I mean, obviously, it's needed.
What would you say to people that want to shut it down, to tell everyone if they want a meal and you don't have money, go to the Jesus Center?
All I could tell you is like this. Look around. These people aren't at the Jesus Center right now. They're right here.
Right
where they're at, you know, and they're getting help right where they're at. They shouldn't have to go, you know, if they can't especially go get help at the Jesus Center, you know. I mean, other people can't go there for different reasons. So where's the help for them? You know, they just don't deserve it. They don't deserve to eat or get clothed or get warmth at night. I mean, because the Jesus Center has kicked them out for cussing or fighting or just being human, really.
Trick Newman, the founder of Chico Friends on the Street, can be seen here being interviewed by Action News, where Patrick is describing all of the efforts that are done by his team, as well as the folks that are served the meal, to keep the plaza clean and make it a better place than when they came, and generally pushing back against the deceptive reporting of Action News regarding the way the plaza was left after these meals.
Mayor Patrick Newman, founder of Chico Friends on the Street, is going to give us some insights on, you know, his little interview he had with Action News and, you know, some summary on that terrible gorilla feeding piece last week on Action News. Welcome to Without a Roof, Patrick Newman.
Yeah, it's important to keep public perception somewhere near reality, and that is that we've got a million people on the streets of the United States who are not going to, no matter what we do in the short term, they're going to need food and clothing on the streets. They're going to need restroom access. So to call what we're doing toxic charity suggests that somehow we're making the problem worse. What's making the problem worse is that we're not solving the problems at their roots. And so as things get more difficult and we have more problems associated with poverty, the authoritarians will come in with their guns and their control, and they will try to start stripping civil liberties in order to deal with that. Well, we need to stand against that. We need to be out here and stand with the poor. So come to the plaza, 12 o'clock noon, any Sunday you can, or start your own thing and begin to meet these people in the public space and meet their needs there. Because it's a way to say, we're with you, we have solidarity with you.
Just one quick question, because I know there was a lot of community members that were disappointed or upset. I more fell in the upset crowd myself about some of the words that Laura Kutsuna from the Jesus Center had about, you know, neighboring with the poor and actually helping them in public space. I mean, you have any comments on her part of the piece?
I think Laura was referencing some danger in providing people with things as if to suggest that there can only be one place in town for them to get them. Number one, the Jesus Center isn't basically not open on Sundays, especially in the afternoon for food. So there's hungry people. But the other part of that is that there are a lot of people who don't go to the Jesus Center and who still need food and clothing and all these other necessities. that's a small fraction of the homeless community that's served at the Jesus Center. So, and beyond that, there's no reason to think that we should concentrate or centralize all of our services in one part of town. And that's really the driving force behind a lot of this. Because the reason for that is to try to get people who are in the public space out of the public space and into one ghettoized kind of service center. I think as long as people do not have access to decent housing, they should have the freedom to make that choice. Can we accept that they live out here among us? So there's a philosophical difference there, and it's a complex one.
All right, I want to thank everyone that showed up at the plaza this weekend. I met some new people that I had not yet met, and big shout out to Jana, who actually went along with me. We went down after the plaza. We went down to one of my favorite people, Mama Rose. She has that wonderful meal for folks experiencing poverty and homelessness most Sundays, and she was able to do it this Sunday, the 20th, down at 20th Street Park. Just a huge shout out, but I want to, you know, like I said in the intro, I did have something I want to shout out to, and this went out to a friend of mine, someone that I had a quote from him when it first started, the Downtown Ambassador. He said, this is my favorite job of my life because I really feel like I'm helping people. But I this is what I wrote. I sent him a message on Facebook. I said, I'm glad you're a Downtown Ambassador and that you are in the plaza today making peace. Your intervention with the drunk peeing and exposing himself in public, I had to do a radio edit there, was well executed as the stuff was going south real fast as other people who saw it stepped in. Because it usually happens, you know, in an environment like that, someone does something stupid, especially within people experiencing homelessness. These people respond, dude. This isn't like the standard public that'll just go, oh my God, look what just happened. So I think it was going to turn ugly. But I told Jason, I said, you're a good man and someone I'm proud to call my friend. And he said, I appreciate the kind words, good sir. It's good to spend part of my afternoon with you. And I can also say, you know, I do journalism on the street. I'm out there talking to people, and I haven't really dug in on the ambassadors, but there's been a couple of other incidences. And, you know, to get an open question, I'll come up two different ones. And I said, hey, is this person telling you to move on? And I did that a couple of times over about a month or so. And but bottom line is that the homeless folks or the people that were being, you know, administered or talking to the ambassadors, they were like, oh, no, man, we're just talking, you know. And just a big shout out to the folks that do that because, you know, there's not enough hospitality out there. There's not enough kind people just to share a word and, you know, see what's up and see how you can help. The next piece aired in January. This came into my lap in a way. I was researching something else going, oh, my God. This was the interview I did the week after Laura Consuna from the Jesus Center came, went to city council. This was 14 months ago. And I sent the presentation that she did to Bob Erlenbush, who's the executive director of Sacramento Regional Coalition and Homelessness. And he's was on the board. And I mean, he might still be the National Coalition and Homelessness. He's been doing this thing almost 40 years. So you're going to hear how he responded to what the plan was. To this, I'll add a little bit of color to it here on People Power Radio. My distinct pleasure for the January 25th Without a Roof radio program. I have on the phone for a pre-record Bob Erlenbush, who is the executive director of the Sacramento Regional Coalition to End Homelessness, and he's also the board president of the National Coalition to End Homelessness. So welcome once again to KZFR 90.1 FM, Bob Erlenbush.
Thank you for inviting me.
What would you add or expand upon as far as the work you've been doing recently and in the past around homelessness, Bob Erlenbush?
Currently, one of our city council members, Councilmember Warren, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, made a presentation towards the end of the council meeting. He asked the city attorney and city manager to come back with a proposal on a moratorium on the anti-camping ordinance that we have opposed for years. And so we're starting to set up meetings with city council people over trying to garner their support. Not only for that, but we also want to add homelessness to the current Sacramento City Non-Discrimination and Equality Municipal Code that would all the civil rights categories that we're used to don't discriminate based on age, religion, sex, disability, gender, sexual orientation, sexual identity, all the rest of it. We want to add homelessness so the city and its vendors would not discriminate against homeless people and all the other categories in housing, in employment, and delivery of health care. So that's what we're focused on.
So in other words, you're busy, Bob. Bob is busy and all your friends
just
down there.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit busy. I love it. I sent Bob the Reducing Homelessness in Chico, California, the presentation that was
presented to City Council by Lori Kutsuna, Executive Director of the Jesus Center here in Chico, California. I sent it with no prompts, and I'd like to take it from here, from the one word that you had used to kind of sum it up. You said it was pretty flimsy. So why don't we go from there and explain why it's flimsy and what you'd like to see in that report that wasn't there?
It was very, very thin on any kind of real plan. I mean, just even starting off, to their credit, at least they said that homelessness is a human, economic, and community crisis, but nevertheless, they left off the moral crisis, the morality around a homeless crisis. But more specifically, they identified seven different things that they did in 2006. One of them was a one-day event, and three of them were meetings. The only real thing that they did in 2016 that I could figure out from the report was the groundbreaking on Valley View Apartments, which didn't have any specificity. How many units is that? What level of affordability? What percent of the units are going to be for homeless or extremely low-income people? That's what I meant by flimsy. Really, no detail whatsoever. And then I thought it was a little shocking that in the section, who did they want to have in the conversation, listed, you know, the usual suspects, but oddly left off, and pretty shockingly left off talking with currently and formerly homeless people, left off housing and homeless advocates, and left off the faith-based community.
Yeah, I thought it was shocking because I went to a pre, they showed this to the homeless task force, and there was a lot of landing points around, you know, engaging the homeless community, which they're not physically doing at the physical level that they need to do. So,
right.
You know, everyone kind of agrees. But when I kind of questioned it, well, that's not what the city council needs to know. Well, I think that's exactly what the city council needs to know, what it's going to take to solve this. What do you think, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. You know, over my 30 some odd years, you know, we've done a number of surveys of homeless people. One of the ones that we did a few years ago when the Oprah Winfrey show came out and was filming, you know, the tent city, the big tent city in Sacramento, is we went out and surveyed people why they're there. We had a pretty strong sense of why they are. And overwhelmingly, people said, well, I'm outside because of the shelter rules. If you're a mom with right. a teenage boy, you're outside. If you're a couple, you're forced to break up, and most couples, either straight or gay or transgender or whatever, don't want to split up for obvious reasons. And then if you have a pet, you're outside. So, you know, your community's report talked a lot about data collection, but didn't talk about surveying homeless people as to why they're outside in the first place, which was surprising.
They've actually got some surveys around the point in time. So the point in time is canvassing, but they have a survey around it. And for the first time in Butte County, they're actually going to be asking some criminalization questions around.
Good. Well, that's positive.
Yeah. The other thing that was it should have been more positive. We had feedback on this, you know, and I appreciate that they put this together and it was on a short string period of time. But we had conversations in the homeless task force, Bob, that were really like, people are going, why didn't we talk about this housing? Why didn't we talk about that? So I'm going to put together a little minute or two, and I'm interviewing one of the most main accomplishments we've had in the last month, Bob, is we gave a key to a lady that's got a crisis care and triage. She's on the street helping mentally ill homeless people, but they're in a home. They're in a supportive home, master lease program. You know, that wasn't
right.
in there. And
Good.
There's a bunch
Good.
Of other things. So I agree with you, and I'm going to spend some airtime kind of talking about these housing programs that they didn't talk about.
It's really critical.
It is.
San Francisco Department of Health actually has a model program. They got tired of years ago, the San Francisco Health Department got tired of discharging people to the streets, so they started master leasing apartments. So now people come straight out of the hospital and have a place to go. So, I mean, there's lots of very creative things going on up and down the state and around the country, and, you know, it sounds like your community left off a few of the model programs that really end and prevent homelessness for people in your community.
Let me prompt this question up for you. They asked the person presenting, what kind of data might you need that you don't have? And the lady that was presenting from the Jesus Center, Lori Kutsuna, executive director, said, well, there's a whole discussion around whether people are flocking here for services or not. And I'm I haven't got any data empirical otherwise. And I'm like, oh my God, if you just looked at the data you have, you're not going to need to be asking this question. So what would you say about kind of continuing to think that that's a question that hasn't been answered?
I mean, I've heard the magnet theory for 30 years, and it just doesn't hold up. The example that I think is pretty classic is, you know, if you look at the general assistance level in San Francisco, and then right across the bay, the general assistance level for Oakland is quite a bit lower. If the magnet theory was true, why don't people just get on the BART and come over to get general assistance? I mean, it just doesn't hold up. 85% of the people, homeless people in Sacramento, from their surveys, are from Sacramento. People don't flock to communities for programs. They went to high school here. They might have gone to college here. They know where the emergency room is. They know where the what local grocery store will let them in and what one's going to kick them out. I mean, on and on and on. You know, that whole magnet theory just is laughable. But on the other side of it, as a way to refute that, go ahead and ask your question of residency. You're going to find overwhelmingly somewhere between 75% and 90% of homeless people experiencing homelessness in Chico are from Chico. They're not coming here from, Oklahoma.
If you were to talk to city council right now and say, irregardless of this report, what would you say in 1 minute to city council members that might be listening of what we should accomplish first and be looking at right now?
If you don't have one, create a Chico or Butte County Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Fund it to the scale of the crisis in your community and stop criminalizing people experiencing homelessness.
That never gets old. Bob Erlenberg, man, I want to thank you so much for that here on People Powered Radio. This is the update 14 months later. He talked about a lot of things, but he talked about the fact that, you know, the report was lacking in saying they were going to physically talk with folks experiencing homelessness. I have to give the report that literally 14 months later, the Jesus Center still hasn't talked to homeless folks. I had reached out to the executive director specifically about some focus groups that they were having. They're still putting those together and to get some access to a survey that they were doing. The survey thing is still out there. I'm still having some hope, but I was pretty much told that advocates are not invited to this meeting. As it, you know, when you put these shows together, it's amazing because someone actually was on the phone and they used a word that rhymes with duck. I guess there was a meeting at the JC today that someone had used a word that rhymes with duck. And it was with the police and the Jesus Center. So I'm sitting here 14 months later with someone that's been doing this for 40 years saying, you really need to talk to homeless people. And it seems like that's the last people that the Jesus Center seems like they're prioritizing to talk to. And I don't think that's right. Speaking of what I don't think is right, I don't think it's right that the Celtics injuries are like off the hook. You know, I got to do a transition. I got the sports show. So what I've decided to do is I love sports, East Coast sports, Red Sox and Celtics. I'm going to do that every freaking week, guys. That's either a warning or a promise. All right,
I like it. I like it.
You know, and I'm gonna slip in one of my mom's mashisms every week. And my mama's favorite one is by Gandhi: "Live simply, so others may simply live." Marcus Smart out, torn thumb tendon. Second opinion, he's gone for the season. That's Bill Mash's read. Kyle, knee injury, he's probably gone for a couple of weeks. Daniel Theis, gone for the entire season, and Hayward's already been out. It's crazy. What do you guys think? Before I turn it over to you, the real sports show, I'm just winging it.
John, you go.
That's all you got.
You a Celtics guy?
My dad is a Massachusetts guy, so.
Dude, I'm loving you.
Yeah, well, I'm not a Celtics guy.
Dude, no. And we're going off the radio right now. Anyway.
Or Warriors, so that's that looks good for the Warriors right. Playoff time.
Yeah, like I said a few weeks ago, if the Celtics stay healthy, they're going to be in the finals with the Warriors, but they're not healthy, and I don't think they're going to be in the finals anymore, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you guys every week. I'm just got a little bit of bumper here, and I'm going to get out of the seat. Thanks for listening to Without a Roof radio program, and look us up, Without a Roof, on Google. We come right to the top.